This episode is brought to you by Set for Life Insurance. Listen, docs, one of the first steps we took to pay off our student loan debt was realizing we paid way too much for our disability insurance. That all changed when we found Set for Life Insurance. They helped us with a customized insurance policy that met our needs and, most of all, budget. To learn more, check out setforlifeinsurance.com.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Docs Outside the Box. This is a podcast where we are fusing money, medicine, and pop culture. I'm your host, Dr. Nee. I am joined by my co-host,
Dr. Renee A. Ella, 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 A.
Dr. Renee Rihanna Darko.
Riri. Oof. Badia Riri.
So far, what do you think about the performance? Because you're watching this performance for the first time on this tablet while we're talking.
Yeah. I mean, I think it looks fine.
What do you think about the pump?
The bump?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's pregnant, so. I mean, look, a pregnant woman comes out, like, if she were to start doing all kinds of flips and moves and things like that, people would be like, what's wrong with her? Why is she doing that? Why would she put her pregnancy at risk? So I think what she's doing is, you know, appropriate.
So if you were her doctor, let's say she came to you and was like, yo, because she looks like, to me, like she's 4-5 months.
Yeah, she could be. Yeah, maybe about 23 weeks, 24 weeks or something.
We do months.
Maybe.
Okay. So would you tell her to do this?
And maybe even,
Exerting herself much?
Looking at it a little more closely, and she might even be less. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a measuring tape. But even visually looking at her, she's not exerting herself at all.
No.
Especially somebody who is obviously already active.
Yo, right? From a trauma standpoint, I'd be kind of like, yo, you gonna go on that top? Like, the set for this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, the overall, like, the visuals, the colors, the just her going on top of that thing. There's a point that you're gonna see where she's being elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see, like, it's kind of wobbly. Now, she has, like, that bungee system or whatever it is attached to her, but it's, like, all over the place. And from a trauma standpoint, I'm like, yo, sis, don't do it.
Well, I mean, that's whether she's pregnant or not, right? Like, whether she's pregnant or not, if that thing falls, that's not good. But if she's, you know, if she came to me and was like, well, I want to do the Super Bowl, I'd be like, okay, do the Super Bowl.
How many months will you be like, yo, you need to chill?
To do the Super Bowl?
Yeah, to do like a performance like this.
None. What did she do? She didn't do anything.
Oof. 9 months?
She didn't do anything that was, you know, out of the ordinary exertive, right? Like, she is literally just singing. Like,
that's one of the critiques, actually. Huh? That's one of the critiques a lot of people are saying.
Well, I mean, but she's pregnant. So, again, people always are quick to say what they didn't get, right? But if they had gotten a pregnant Rihanna, you know, basically going crazy and doing stuff and, you know, doing all kinds of moves that potentially could put the pregnancy at risk, people would criticize her and be like, what's wrong with her? Why would she put her pregnancy at risk like this?
I don't know, man. I don't think people were, first of all, but this is a surprise. So just, if you didn't watch the Super Bowl, this was a surprise. Nobody knew that she was pregnant. Look at the stage, you see? What I think happened is that she agreed to do the Super Bowl, then she got pregnant.
Probably.
And then it was like, okay, what are we going to do? And then she was like, well, her entire team was like, let's make it work like this.
Yeah.
But from what I've been told, I haven't seen her in concert, but I've seen snippets from her previous concerts. She's a lot more active.
Mm-hmm,
she's
a lot more animated, I'm
right,
sure.
Right. So I think that this was a surprise for a lot of people. And I think there's a lot of people who are like, oh, that's great. You know, she's pregnant and, you know, she's showing her strength and all that stuff. And I think there's other people who are just like,
yeah, but I mean, let's face it.
You ain't look like you really wanted to do this stuff.
Okay. What do you mean you didn't really look? Whoever says she didn't look like she wanted to do it. Listen, pregnancy is a great excuse to get out of something. If she didn't want to do it, she could have just been like, I'm pregnant. I can't do it.
I don't know.
So, you know, it's like, no. They're lucky she didn't have, you know, freaking hyperemesis morning sickness, you know, and was like, yeah, I really can't do it, you know?
Yeah, we don't know if she had it or not, but.
Right, but I'm saying she obviously didn't have it here, right? Because she's not throwing up. So they could have came to see that show. You know what I mean? So. And here's my thing. Most people watch it on TV. You got it for free. Shut up and enjoy the show. Like, what are you complaining about? You didn't pay for it. And the people who are in the stadium, they did not pay to come to see Rihanna.
They, yes, came, they paid. They, no,
they when paid you pay, to come nah, see a freaking football game.
When
please.
You pay and you pay for the Super Bowl, hence the jack and the prices, you paying to get not only the
listen,
people playing,
you,
but you paying to get a close eye look also. So
Did you get to see Rihanna?
I didn't pay to go to
I'm saying the people who went to the Super Bowl, did they or did they not see Rihanna?
Of course they saw Rihanna.
Then that's what they paid for. I mean, come on. What they actually paid for.
I mean, nobody's
for,
giving refunds and stuff. So, I mean, I get what you're saying.
Look,
but people still have a right to say, hey,
to see
yo,
a football
the Rihanna
game.
That I'm used to normally seeing, like, I ain't.
It's not pregnant.
I ain't paid to see no pregnant Rihanna.
Well, then too bad.
That's what we got.
Too bad. You should have had her pee on a stick before you pay for your ticket.
So when do you say that it's enough? That's true, right? When do you say that it's enough? Like, I'm done working and I need to focus on baby. Is there a time
during pregnancy?
Yeah.
Well, if the baby's not here yet, how are you focusing on the baby?
Well, that's what you did, didn't you?
No,
you didn't work until right before you delivered.
I did work. What are you talking about? The last C-section I did, I was 38 weeks.
Oh, okay. How long was your pregnancy for?
My pregnancy went 39 weeks.
Okay.
So, yeah, both of my pregnancies went 39 weeks.
I guess I should remember that.
Yeah, well, you know. So both of my pregnancies went 39 weeks. The last C-section that I did for my first pregnancy, I was 38 weeks. For the second one, the last C-section I did was around the same, 37 to 38 weeks. You know, it really isn't about focusing on the baby per se, more than it's, you know, for a normal, healthy pregnancy, right? So we're not talking about complicated pregnancy. So for a normal, healthy pregnancy, which let's assume that that's what Rihanna has going on, she doesn't have any other issues going on. If she doesn't have any other issues going on, then she can work until she delivers or until she's too uncomfortable to work. Right. There was a point at which I was doing, I think I did a 24-hour shift with my second pregnancy, and I was about 33 weeks. And I got so uncomfortable because the shift was so long and I was on my feet. I was like, okay, like, I can't do 24-hour shifts anymore during this pregnancy because I'm way too uncomfortable. My hips were killing me. Like, it was just too uncomfortable. But if that wasn't the case, then I could have continued to do it. Like, there's no, like, no, you can't work, you know?
Yeah, I know just working with some people, I know that some people have worked literally until the day they were going to be induced.
There are people who work through labor.
But it's just interesting.
Which is crazy.
I thought it was really interesting and fascinating. I really was a big fan of the colors. I was a real big fan of the set. But I was not a big fan of the performance. I thought the performance was kind of like, eh.
It was what you said?
We were just hanging out with my niece. So it was kind of mid. Right, that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what the kids are saying these days.
Yeah, it wasn't really high. It wasn't really low. It was just kind of, you know. But it was what I expected for a pregnant woman, you know, who's 4 or 5 months to do. But that was a shock to me when I was like, wait, hold on a second. She's pregnant.
She's pregnant. Either that or she's been drinking a lot of beer.
She got a lot of hits though, man. She got a lot of hits.
Yeah, she's putting on the hits.
So I got a question for you because we don't just bring up things for no reason on this show. So The Super Bowl pays for her entire set. That could be up to like $13 million, $14 million. They pay for her travel. They pay for her entire entourage, everything that's required.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think she got paid? They had over 118 million people watching at the time when she was on. So about 113 million people were watching the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It rose up to 118 million to watch hers.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think she got paid for the performance?
So I'm going to cheat here because I saw something online that said she did not get paid.
You would be correct.
Yeah.
Artists do not get paid to be at the Super Bowl, which I think is completely shocking.
Yeah.
I think it's completely shocking. And I think from the research that I've been doing.
Oh, she got paid in exposure.
It's the exposure, which is.
As if nobody knew who Badia Riri was it already.
It is technically the largest stage or at least the largest televised stage in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else in terms of viewership that can compete.
Yeah.
Is it still worth it, though, to do it free?
I mean, obviously, you know, you've got Beyonce did it. Rihanna did. I mean, a lot of big names.
Rihanna at first said no, but it was for something else. But then now she said yeah.
So, you know, I mean, obviously there is some rhyme or reason why they're doing it. I mean, you can't walk around and not know who Beyonce or Rihanna is. So the fact that they're doing Super Bowl gigs to me is like, there must be some.
Even like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, Snoop
Dogg.
All
these people, U2.
Right.
All of these folks, they do this stuff right. for free.
Yeah.
Should they be doing this for free?
Well, I don't know if they should or not. It really all depends on what they're going to do with that exposure, right? So if you're going to do something for exposure, then that exposure should actually pay you in some other way, right? So that's why, you know, I don't understand it. Like, I'd have to kind of think a little bit more and delve deeper as to
well, I'll leave it to like this.
Why
so
a when big name artist?
So when
would
J-Lo
go and do
did
that?
It, when yeah. J-Lo did it, her streams went through the roof. So a lot of
okay.
it is the
so
exposure.
For the music.
It's a little bit of some of the what's the word? You know, some people who haven't come out with an album, you know, recently.
Right. Right. That
huge,
I can see.
There's a huge bump in their sales. There's a huge bump in streaming now. So that's why a lot of them do it also. It leads to other opportunities and so forth.
Right.
You know, and I think obviously a lot of people were looking for Rihanna because Rihanna hasn't put out an album in, you know, several years, which everybody, surprise alert, she ain't coming out with another album. I don't know why everybody's waiting for her to come out. She's a billionaire.
I know.
She's a mom times two now.
Well,
she
you know, people
ain't
just think
coming out with an album. Stop waiting.
My thing
she
is
she don't need to come off an album anymore.
Yeah. So we had this discussion in the car earlier today. First things first is the streaming, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's only 13 minutes.
Right. But I don't know. Minutes. I guess I still kind of question like, does Beyonce really get that much of a bump from the Super Bowl? Does Rihanna really get that much of a bump from the Super Bowl? I mean, you know, those two especially are like mainstream current artists who are always, you know, present.
Well, this is
right
I
in people's minds.
I mentioned J-Lo. I mentioned like Shakira. Yeah, like these are, but I'm not talking about like those are for.
I mean, those
folks.
Are big. Those are big too. But I don't know how many people are like, oh, let me stream J-Lo. Like,
well, a lot. Apparently, a lot were right. But I'm not saying that J-Lo and I'm not saying that Shakira are in the same category as Rihanna,
right?
That, or Beyonce.
Right, that's
I'm not
what
saying
I'm kind of.
So I'm
yeah,
very interested as to why they would want to do that. But obviously, it has something to do with the exposure.
Yes.
Because right? if they're not getting paid, then what would compel them to do this
right.
for her?
You get paid in exposure, and that exposure is supposed to lead to other things, which in this case, we're talking about leading to
an album.
More streams. Or if you're coming out with an album, you say, okay, well, I'm going to do this show, and then therefore, this is like, you know, this is the lead magnet, right? This is the thing I'm going to give away for free.
100%, it's a
right?
lead magnet.
Yeah, this is the thing I'm going to give away for free so that people can then pay for the thing that I'm going to ask them to pay for. But that's why I'm like, why would Rihanna and people like, you know, Beyonce
That's what I forgot.
Do
I forgot.
It?
I forgot to mention. So she set up a deal.
Because I don't think Beyonce need no lead magnet.
She set up a deal where she... Although she's not going to get paid, she was allowed to record everything that led up to her actual performance.
There you go.
And she's going to make a documentary.
There
that.
You go.
That's the same thing that Beyonce did with Coachella. And
there
then she
you
sold
go.
It to Netflix.
Right. That makes sense. Right? That makes sense.
Flip
so
it.
So the exposure.
Make it into something else.
Right. The exposure, right, basically leads then to some other opportunity. So that makes sense, right? So for me, the downloads and the streaming for Beyonce and Rihanna don't make as much sense. But the, yeah, I'm going to do a documentary because that's another realm, right? That's another realm. So then I can get paid for doing this documentary and blah, blah, blah. So that makes sense to me.
And the other interesting thing is like when they're doing these documentaries, like it's not like Netflix is following them around to say, right. let's do a documentary. It's... No, we're going to film it.
Right.
We're going to edit it and then we're going to
sell it to
Netflix, which for the most part, you know, takes a lot of like, I know that when I show up and when I record this, people are going to show up.
Right.
Right. So you have to have a lot of confidence that you're going to be able to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, it just lets you know how many people are really interested mm-hmm. in what you have to put out there. So
right.
that's what I just found it very interesting that to this day, right, someone like Rihanna
sense.
Still doesn't get paid. But obviously they have another move.
Right.
That
exactly.
they want to flip. So it's
yeah.
very, very, very interesting. Yeah. Because they were saying, for example, Shakira and J-Lo's halftime show in 2020 cost $13 million,
mm.
accounting for the audio, technical, and staging crew and equipment. $13 million. Mm. Now, this cost way more than $13 million.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just fascinating. So, in many regards, I think about, does this relate in medicine? Like, is there a world where a doctor would want to do something for free?
We do medical missions.
For exposure. Well, for exposure, right?
For exposure,
well,
yeah.
some people do that just to kind of get that publicity bump and so forth,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which, you know, there's not much to say about that. But
right.
I do think that, I don't know, I can't think of what somebody else would do.
For free?
For free. Just
doctors do stuff for free all the time. What are you talking about?
Media?
Yeah, media, but I'm not just talking about like, you know, audience exposure. I'm talking about exposure to other opportunities, right?
Okay. So explain.
You know, the doctor who is asked to do X, Y, and Z, be on this committee, head up this project, and it's taking time out of their day to do it, and they're not getting paid anything extra. But it gives them exposure to, you know, maybe the C-suite that they didn't have exposure to before. And so now they're like, okay, I'll work on this project and I'll do it for free. That'll expose me to the C-suite. And maybe if I'm going to go up for chief medical officer, for some other, you know, for chair of the department, for X, Y, and Z, then I will have had that exposure. They will know me and therefore I'm in the know now, right? Like, I'm in with the big dogs.
Yeah, I think a lot more people, definitely in academia, are putting that stuff out there where they're saying, listen, like, I'm not going to give my time away for free. And you putting me on all of these different committees, I'm not getting paid for it. The only thing I can put on it is that it goes on my CV.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really count for anything. Those days are over. I think you see that a lot in community hospitals also,
yep.
where you'll have so-and-so who is in whatever specialty, not only are they doing all of their procedures and so forth and clinical care, but they're in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 committees. What really comes out of that, they don't get paid from it, you know.
I
think a lot of people are starting to see that. I don't know if I really want to do that anymore.
Well, I don't know if a lot of people may be starting to see that, but I still think majority of doctors don't actually say no when they're asked to do those things.
Would you say
I think majority.
Should you say no?
Say again?
Should you say no to these?
No,
things?
That's up to you. That's up to you, right? As the doctor who is being asked to do X, Y, and Z, you need to determine whether or not this is worth your while.
Yeah.
Right? You know, is the exposure really that worth it? Is the thing that you're doing, you know, really that worth it? Or is it going to just take time more out of your day, you know, cause you more stress, more headache, without getting something from it?
I think
we've seen lots of people who are like, oh, but I did this. I was doing that for the hospital. I was doing this. They weren't getting paid extra and they didn't
a combination of FOMO and not knowing how to say no.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right? So FOMO in regards to what you said about trying to get into the C-suite maybe, or just, you know, an opportunity that you just never thought
right.
would come across. And you think that if you say no to this, that you're not going to get that opportunity. But
exactly.
also at the same time, you feel like if you say no, there's going to be some type of
consequence
or repercussion or what have you. And I think that that's an issue. My thoughts are whenever that happens to me, I just say no, unless it's something that I'm extremely passionate about. And I'll only do one of those things, right? Yeah, so... You know, as a result, I think that, you know, folks are not going to say no. They're going to end up taking all of these other jobs. And for me, my thought process is, look, I'll do one if I'm really passionate about it. Other than that, I'm always going to say no,
mm-hmm.
unless it's something that I'm really passionate about. But for the most part, as someone who works as a locums doc, I can't really think
right.
of an opportunity where I would even be offered
right.
that position, which is fine with me.
Well, you know, I mean, you could be offered the position, but it wouldn't be appropriate for you to do as a locums, right? That's part of it too. Is like, this is not actually appropriate because I'm not part of, I'm not technically an employee of your organization, right? I just work here.
Right? Well, it depends on which facility you're at, right? Because not every facility, in order to be, like, you're just part of the medical staff,
right?
And if you're part of the medical staff, that not necessarily means that you have to be an employee,
right?
You know, so right. That's kind of, it could work along that realm also.
I know, but I don't like the lines to be blurred. You know, if I'm going in as a locums, then I want to be in as a locums. And part of the reason for that is that as a locums, my stance is that my stint here is temporary. It's only temporary. I could literally, this could always be my last shift at this particular facility. Because if I find another facility, I could decide to give them more time. Or my time here is inconsistent. I will come in if you need me. But that also means that I don't want to take on something that is very consistent, like some project of building a program or, you know, working on some, you know, community outreach, you know, that might be very choppy because I don't really see myself as someone who is there for the long haul, you know? So if I'm there and let's say I do three shifts and after the third shift, they're like, oh, you know, you know, we'd like for you to do X, Y, and Z, join this project. And I say, yes. Well, if by the fifth shift, I'm like, oh man, I found another place. I literally could leave. Like, there's no like major notice, right? There's no major notice. I literally could just not give dates for the next few months and then come back like 6 months later.
Fair enough. So basically what we've concluded is doctors be giving up free work all the time and stuff. So
yeah. And I don't know that the exposure that they get is actually worth it. You know, I don't know that that's, you know, that it's worth it, you know, in the grand scheme of things. It might work out for a handful of people, but I don't know that in the grand scheme of things, that taking on these extra projects, being on these extra committees that you're not getting paid for is actually worth it.
Yeah, if you look at the maternity leave stats, let's just kind of leave it at that. If we look at the maternity leave stats for the United States, we're the worst among industrialized countries. And what I mean by that is, yeah, we do 12 weeks, but it's unpaid leave. Whereas for the most part, all industrialized countries have some form of paid leave. Mm-hmm. And we don't do anything. The only thing that protects it is what, FMLA?
Yes.
It protects your job for 12 weeks. And then after that, anything past that, yo, you're prone to lose your job and that's it.
Yeah.
And it's unpaid. So we'll just leave it at that. But listen, guys, we are going to come back. We're going to talk about Kyrie Irving and how it relates to you as a resident. Because I know there are a bunch of residents right now who look like Kyrie or sound like Kyrie. You know exactly who I'm talking about.
What?
We're going to get back. We're going to talk about that. Let's take a break real quick. We'll be right back. Hold up. Before we continue, to all my day ones, and you know each and every one of you who you are, thank you for rolling with the show from Jump. And to the new listeners, welcome. What's good? Where y'all been? I want y'all to stay a while, all right? So look, I'm trying to build a community here and I need your help. So with whatever app you're listening to this show right now, I want you to click the subscribe button. Then I want you to go over to Apple Podcasts and I want you to rate and review the show. And you may be asking, how does this help? The way how it helps is by helping the show to grow and rise up in the rankings, so that it's easier for new people to discover the show. Now, what's in it for you is at least once a week, I'm going to be going through these reviews. I'm going to pick a lucky reviewer and I'm going to give that person an opportunity to have a 15-minute session with me where we could talk about anything from personal finance, getting your money right, to just shooting the you know what about the show. So listen, remember, all I need you to do is subscribe and then rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts. Let's get on with the episode. Peace. All right, and we are back. Let's jump into a medicine segment. Let's jump into Kyrie Irving. As you know, Kyrie
Irving. Pop culture / medicine.
Kyrie Irving. All-Star. I say star, Super Bowl, or basketball player for the NBA, recently got traded to the Dallas Mavericks, had a four-year stint with the New Jersey Nets, or New York, or Brooklyn Nets, excuse me.
I'm like, wait,
I keep mixing up. My man is from
Brooklyn. You got Super Bowl in there. You got New Jersey in there. Where you at?
He's from Jersey. Right. He's from Jersey, but then he was playing for the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm. Brooklyn.
Let's just say that him and Kevin Durant, by all accounts, this was the worst. This was the biggest disaster in NBA history in terms of like players determining their own fate, so to speak.
They broke up.
They didn't break up. See, this is the issue with Kyrie. Kyrie, don't get me started, man.
Start. Go ahead.
I know I feel in my heart, I bet you Kyrie was like, listen, I just want to go to a different team, but KD, I still love you. It's not you. It's just that it's me, and I just want to go someplace else. And Kevin Durant, who's just kind of like, he kind of does whatever. He's like, all right, man, you do you. We still best friends. So Kevin Durant is now with Phoenix Suns. But anybody who's been following Kyrie since 2012, 2013, Kyrie is no joke, legit, one of the best offensive players I've ever seen. Ball dribble-wise, amazing. He hit that last shot right in Steph Curry's face in the 2016 NBA Championships to seal the win. And then it just went to his head. Or it was always in his head that he was just on the same level as LeBron. Right? And he forced a trade right afterwards to go to the Celtics. And then he thought that he could carry a team, and he fell flat on his face. The team didn't like him. He ended up not re-signing with Boston Celtics, and then he ended up going to the Nets. He pulled KD with him. Even though KD seen all of these things of him obliterating the team chemistry and all of these things, he said, yeah, I can fix him. I'm going to date him.
I'm going to fix him.
I'm going to change him. They signed, I knew this was a bad idea. When Kyrie signed, I was like, why are the Brooklyn Nets signing Kyrie? But they knew that the only way they can get KD is if they signed Kyrie.
So I'm going to say something.
Bad idea.
About that is that maybe KD didn't go to the Nets only because Kyrie asked him to. But maybe he went for a very similar reason as Kyrie. Maybe he felt, well, it is time because they're, you know, KD and LeBron are always being compared, right? They are. You're smirking, but they are.
There is no comparison.
But they are being compared. Whether there's no comparison, they are always being compared. And I think that especially after KD couldn't beat him, so he joined him in California. Couldn't beat him, so he went from OKC. Then he went to, what's that team in Cali? Golden State. Right? So he joined them because he couldn't beat them in OKC and realized, I'm not really the leader in Golden State.
He knew that he wasn't going to be as beloved.
But he just wanted a ring. So you can't blame somebody. He just wanted that ring. Right? So that was kind of the, I just want a ring. Right? So then he leaves that relationship after he got his ring and decides, well, I'm going to lead my own team.
I'm going to take LeBron's ex-girl.
Right. I'm going to lead my own team because LeBron could win a champion with this guy on his side. I'm going to just take this guy on his side. Who cares if he thinks he's actually leading the team? He's not leading the team. I'll lead the team and I'll get another ring. And now that ring will be a ring that people see as me leading the team, not not being able to beat them and then joining them. And then they both got to Brooklyn and were very quickly reminded, none of y'all can lead this team. Y'all thought y'all could lead a team.
It takes a lot of work.
But you couldn't.
It takes a lot of work to lead. It takes a lot of ability to take criticism.
Yes.
And they were not able to take that. And together they made magic, but it was just magic on one side of the ball. And I knew from the get-go, I was like, this ain't going to work. This is not going to work. None of them can play defense. Nobody can do the assists. Anyway, long story short, it ain't work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, by the time this podcast comes out, about 3 weeks ago, said, listen, I'm out. I'm not resigning with y'all. Send me someplace else. I want to be traded. So they traded him to Dallas, and that's where he's at right now. He's going to go create magic with Luka Doncic, and they're going to do well, but they're not going to win. Anyway, so this got me thinking about Kyrie, because Kyrie is mercurial. Kyrie, he can make magic. He can do beautiful things, but Kyrie is unreliable as you know what.
Kyrie, AF.
Kyrie gets on my last nerve. I know so many residents who are like this, and it got me thinking. It got me thinking, right? Because it makes me think of unreliable residents. Do you have any stories of unreliable residents, or is there anybody in particular in medicine that Kyrie reminds you of?
I mean, I have a couple of people in my head, yeah, that I'm like, God. You know, you really could do this work, but you, it's just something about you that's just, something's missing. Like
there was a time when, there's a little, there was a time where, like, I remember, like, where I was, you know, in trauma, the chief operates with the attending, the third year runs the trauma bay. Mm-hmm. And like the third year is supposed to kind of like hold the fort down, make sure people get blood when they need blood, keep a hypotensive patient from crashing. There were times where I had to like crack a chest open to like, you know, keep someone alive. And then I call upstairs and be like, yo, y'all need to be finishing up with the spleen. I'm coming up with like a clamp on an aorta. Y'all ready to do this?
Right.
But like, I feel like Kyrie would be the person to be like, yeah, an appendicitis came through and it was like hypotensive. And he was like, yeah, and I cracked the chest. And it'd be beautiful. It's like, Kyrie, you cracked the chest.
On the wrong damn patient.
You cracked the chest on a hypotensive appendicitis, like septic patient. Yeah, but he was hypotensive. And look how beautiful my incision was. It's a work of art.
The if this, then that.
He's not. Right? No. Kyrie's not an if this or Kyrie's like, he will tell you straight up, like, what he does is art. And I believe it. What he does is art. It's beautiful. But Kyrie is the type of person who is like, he does like, so the best way I can explain is that when I was chief, I had a third year who, like, he could operate his ass off. Mm-hmm. He was amazing. But the question is the decisions that he was making.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. If this, then that.
He would operate on people who didn't need to be operated on. It's like, yo, you can't operate on this person who has, like, liver, like, failure. You can't just be doing all these type of things.
No.
Are you crazy?
What I'm telling you is that
look at my suture. And you're like, yeah, it does kind of look great.
Yes.
Yeah. Can't front.
That's the if this, then that, right? So if you see this, then do that. But it's like, all right, but you do realize you see this? You see this thing? Yes. Look at all the other things around it. This is why you can't do that. And they miss all of the other things around it, which is why Kyrie goes to a place, because he thinks, if I can win a championship with LeBron,
who's doing 99% of the work,
then I can go somewhere else and win a championship. If this, then that. He fails to see all of the other things that allowed him to win that championship. So if this, then that, which is a very, very, that's always a very dangerous resident.
That's what I'm
telling
you.
Someone who, if this, then that, their
and
way.
And if you're listening to this show, you know exactly who I'm talking about. You know which resident I'm talking about right now.
The problem is the resident that
you know
you're talking
which attending
about.
I'm talking about right now that you're like, yo, I just know, like, every time, like, this guy is or this girl is unreliable, yo. And they just know that whatever they do, someone's going to bail them out. And that's the thing with third years, right? Particularly in surgery residency. Third years, no. Like, they ain't got to worry about, like, they just came out of the ICU. They got a fourth year who's going to have their back. They got a fifth year who's going to have their back. They ain't got no consequences.
Yeah.
And they're so far into their residency, they're not going to get kicked out. That's the thing with Kyrie. Kyrie's like, oh, well, I can dribble and I can finish at the base. It's like, but bro, you can't defend. You're not doing any. You're a point guard and you can't do any assists.
Well, I mean, again.
That's why, like, for me, I think Kyrie is not worth it. I'm sorry. Kyrie is not worth it at all. I don't care what anybody says. And anybody's listening to the show who thinks that Kyrie is worth it knows damn well.
Text us. Yeah. Is Kyrie worth
Yo,
it?
Text
what's
us
the
at
number?
833-230-2860 and tell me right now if Kyrie's worth it. Kyrie ain't worth it.
Well,
he's not worth all this problems, yo.
Are those third year residents worth it?
No. How you gonna how you gonna crack open a chest on a septic patient? Like, nah, yo. Look at my incision.
If this, like, yeah, then
you
that.
Did break the ribs really nice.
If hypotensive, cracked chest. Yes, but they forget the but, right? So, but that's the thing, right? We also talked about going to lead your own team. And it's, you know, it's exactly the same thing in medicine, right? A lot of times people will criticize, you know, well, this person, the leader or the chair or the program director or the whomever, like, they didn't do X, Y, and Z. They didn't do that, blah, blah, blah. We criticize them, but a lot of times we don't know all of the buts. It's like, yeah, they did this thing, but you don't necessarily know all of the rhyme and reason behind it. It's kind of like what you say. What do you always say when someone becomes president versus what they do in the campaign?
Yeah, they talk about all these
things. In their
things.
Campaign.
Yeah, they talk about all these different things that they're going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
In the first 100 days.
And then the president, you know, the current president can't do A, B, C, and D. And then the first day, like, of, like, the inauguration, you know, the Secret Service gives them this little book and just says, yeah, you know, all those little things that you were talking about. Yeah, this person was trying to kill you here. Did you see this picture right here? That was a red dot that was actually on your forehead. Oh, we got you. We had your back on that. You didn't know about that, did you? You know, so like everything changes because right. Now it's like you in charge now.
Yeah.
And what you going to do now and right. Stuff. And that's exactly what I'm saying with Kyrie. It's like
all the little secrets that people don't know. All the little Kyrie nuances.
Kyrie can play the way how he plays because there's no consequence, right? There's somebody else who's going to get the rebound. There's somebody mm-hmm. else who's going to get the assist. There's someone else who's going to do these different things. And this is not like a Kyrie or like I hate Kyrie Irving, but it's just like
I think you kind of hate.
It
Kyrie
just kind of made
Irving.
Me think about all this stuff. And I'm like, I know this. There's an example in medicine that I know that this occurs, and it's like third year resident, yo. Like,
In surgery.
You don't have that in OB.
That would be our second years. That would be our second year.
I don't know if it happens in ER and stuff, but like...
I'm sure it happens, you know, all along the way, right? You get to the point where you get confident. You get confident enough and you're given enough responsibility to be able to handle certain things that you were not able to handle 1 or 2 years before. And so that confidence, right? That confidence... And the expectation of responsibility, if put in the wrong hands,
oh yes,
can be very detrimental, you know? So the if this, I've said this since residency, if this, then that, what I call knee-jerk residents, right? Those are knee-jerk residents. Residents who basically, they know things algorithmically, but they only have like a very linear algorithm. The algorithm doesn't go out, right? So if this, then that. But, right, you gotta go sideways. But, right, if hypotensive, crack chest. But if, you know, if infected, maybe don't do that.
Bro, for sepsis, don't do that.
Right? You know? Maybe don't do that. Maybe cool them down.
I'm exaggerating. You know? That's never happened,
maybe
guys.
Maybe give them some antibiotics.
For the lawyers that are listening, listen, that's never happened. But I'm just saying that it's come close, right? Where I'm just like, bro, you can't do that. Or sis, you can't do that. Like, there's consequences to these things. Like, you... Anyway, but like that's when I was thinking about Kyrie, I'm like, man, like for someone who like... Anyway, but he gets away with a lot of stuff. And it's just like when it's time, like you said, to have his... to be the leader
mm-hmm.
and to take criticism... And to, you know, kind of do the things that you would expect leaders to do outside of just dribbling the ball and getting the ball in the hoop,
right.
Developing team morale, you know, maybe having those difficult meetings with someone who's not doing what you want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
They run for the hills.
Right.
You know, I think that was the issue of Kevin Durant also is like he just wants to hoop. And it's like, well, there's more to winning
leadership.
A championship.
Yeah.
Well, there's more to just championship than
right,
than,
it takes actual leadership.
And that was something that they can't do. And I think that's the reason why they're still not going to win a championship. Even right. with him going to Phoenix, he's still not going to win because they just don't know. They don't know what
they
it takes.
They can win with someone else being the leader. The problem is that they want to be the leader. And unfortunately...
If it goes right.
Right. But unfortunately, not everybody's a leader. You know, not everybody is a leader.
Say that again, yo. Say that again.
It's true. You know, not everybody's a leader, unfortunately. Even when we want to be, right? And even people who are leaders aren't leaders in every single situation, right? There are times when, you know, I feel like, oh, yeah, I could lead this. I could do this. And then there are times where I'm like, mm-mm, this is not my role in this situation. I got to sit back and I got to listen and I got to be part of the team instead of being the person who's trying to lead. You have to know what your role. A good leader knows when to lead and when to sit back. They can assess the entire situation. They can assess, you know, how to bring up the next, you know, the next level of leadership, right? The next generation of leaders. They can look at that and be like, I'm going to sit back because this person actually knows what they're doing and I'm just going to support them. Sometimes you have to lead from behind. You can't always be the person out in front, you know? So
yeah, we get you on that point. I think we beat this horse dead. Did I say it right? Colloquialism?
Beating a dead horse?
Beating a dead horse.
We beat this horse to death? We beat this horse dead.
So
that sounds very morbid.
Text us at 833-230-2860. Let us know what you think about Kyrie and residents. And am I right? Did I go too crazy? I promise you.
Does he hate Kyrie?
I promise you. No, I've never seen a resident crack a chest open off of some septic shock off of appendicitis. Guys, comedy style. This is a joke. But Kyrie would do something like that, though. I'm just saying.
You can't say he would.
He would. Listen, we're going to go ahead and take another break.
Well, he didn't go to medical school.
We're going to take another break. We will be back when we talk about fully funding our HSA account. We are back.
Hold up. Before we continue, to all my day ones, and you know each and every one of you who you are, thank you for rolling with the show from Jump. And to the new listeners, welcome. What's good? Where y'all been? I want y'all to stay a while. All right. So look, I'm trying to build a community here and I need your help. So with whatever app you're listening to this show right now, I want you to click the subscribe button. Then I want you to go over to Apple Podcasts and I want you to rate and review the show. And you may be asking, how does this help? The way how it helps is by helping the show to grow and rise up in the rankings so that it's easier for new people to discover the show. Now, what's in it for you is at least once a week, I'm going to be going through these reviews. I'm going to pick a lucky reviewer and I'm going to give that person an opportunity to have a 15-minute session with me where we could talk about anything from personal finance, getting your money right, to just shooting the you know what about the show. So listen, remember, all I need you to do is subscribe and then rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts. Let's get on with the episode. Peace.
All right, we're back again. This is definitely going to be a money segment. This is our last segment.
Back at it again, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. So just so you know, I don't know if you know, but we finally fully funded our HSA account. This Woo-hoo! Is in the middle of February. We've been kind of taking we didn't put all the money in January, but mm-hmm. we kind of were putting the money in slowly over time. But now
well,
that
let people
February,
know what HSA is.
Oh, yeah. So an HSA account is an health savings account. And basically what it is a personal savings account, right? A personal savings account that can be used only for medical expenses, mm-hmm. all right? And to be eligible, you have to be enrolled in a high deductible health plan. Once again, guys, to be eligible to have an HSA account, a health savings account, you have to be in a high deductible health plan. So for all you residents out there who, you know, may be single, or at least mm-hmm. you're really young and you're like, you know what? I got this health account or this insurance plan. Let me just get something that's a high deductible because the likelihood of me seeing a doctor or the likelihood of me right. using some type of health.
Man, you ain't going to no dad going doctor
you know you
in
ain't
residency.
Going, they're not giving you time going. Off anyway. They're not going to give you time off anyway. So you
Please.
Might as well get a high deductible plan, pay less.
All you OB residents out there, you better get your friends to do your pap smear, okay?
Damn. All right, that's a little bit of a... You better
Listen,
say comedy style
once
on that
you,
one.
Once you see one, you seen them all.
You better say
you
comedy
better
style on that one.
You better get your friends to do your pap smear.
Right,
I am.
She's
joking,
guys.
Don't get your fellow resident to do your pap smear.
She is joking. But let me finish this real quick. So the reason why people do HSA accounts is they have substantial tax advantages.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So some people use them as a retirement savings. Mm-hmm. some people use them like, look, like health insurance is not going to cover everything. So they use this account so that they can purchase things like glasses or purchase things like that
cosmetic
portion
stuff
of their pap smear. That's not going to be that's not going to be covered.
Hopefully your whole pap smear is covered.
Right.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
But like things like cosmetics.
Yes.
If they want to do Botox or dental.
IVF.
Yes. IVF.
Yeah, right. You could use it for a whole bunch of different things that are qualified health plans.
You can
plans.
Even go to the pharmacy and like buy cough medicine.
Yes.
With a lot of them. Yeah, yes. Cough medicine, Band-Aids, whatever. Anything that you're going to be using for health purposes.
And the individual who is listening to this and you're not married, the maximum that you can put into this HSA account is $38,000 or $3,850. If you have a family like we do, the maximum you can put in is $7,750. Mm-hmm. Just low key, contributions to your HSA aren't subject to federal income tax.
Woo-hoo!
And the earnings grow tax-free.
Woo-hoo!
And some of you guys may be listening, but like, wait, I've heard of some type of thing called the FSA, which is a flexible spending account. So a flexible spending account is kind of similar, but at the end of the year, right? Let's say you put some money in January. By December, if you don't use it, it's gone.
Oh.
Right?
Whereas
with an HSA, the money rolls over and over and over and over again. So you can use it for future healthcare expenditures. And like I said, ultimately, I think a lot of people from a flex standpoint are using it, you know, alongside their 401ks and alongside some of their IRA accounts as like, this is for retirement planning and so forth. So,
right. So as you get older, you're using maybe more services, you're maybe getting less coverage. You know, maybe you're on a Medicare plan and we know Medicare
doesn't really cover much.
Doesn't cover much, you know, so this might be something that you can put in. And that 38
or even let's say you retire early.
Right.
And Medicare hasn't kicked in.
Right.
You can use this
that.
For doctor's appointments, co-pays, things of that nature.
Yeah. And that $3,800 and $7,700 is annual.
Yes.
The annual cap.
Yes. And that's for this year.
Right.
It's
for this year.
It's a big
change.
Jump. It's a big jump from last year.
Yeah.
Mainly because of inflation. The rent is too damn high. So they increased the amount that you could put in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, there is some cons, though.
Uh-oh.
The cons are, well, number one is you have to have a high deductible health plan.
Right.
There's no way around it. So if you are someone who thinks that they're going to be seeing a doctor, if you think you're going to be pregnant, if you are pregnant, if you have kids that like to like jump off the bed and bust their ass and all those different things.
You just got kids because they always sick.
Well,
which,
you know, that's one thing to consider, right? And so remember with these plans, you have to come up with the cash first.
Right.
Until you meet your deductible. So some people may find, remember your brother had a high deductible health plan? You want to tell that story real quick?
Yeah, so he had an HSA account, and every time they would go, he has like four kids. And the two younger ones in particular were really, really young at that time. And one of those kids was kind of sickly, Cassie. You know, had asthma and peanut allergies and just all kinds of things. And so they found themselves going to the doctor a lot. And so he didn't understand kind of how the HSA worked. And so every time they would go to the doctor, he would have to pay pretty much out of pocket. And he's like, I don't understand. If I have insurance, why am I paying out of pocket all the time? And it was like $400 a pop.
Yes.
For some of these visits, right? A lot of specialist visits and things like that. So he didn't understand that. So that didn't really work for him, having that particular plan, especially having children who were sickly. And, you know, it really took a hit because they're, you know, he and his wife, their income wasn't something that could sustain going to all of these doctors and having to pay out of pocket like that.
Yes.
So that you want to be really, really careful.
You kind of have to know who you are. You kind of have to know your situation and realize, hey, am I going to be seeing the doctor a lot?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then you're going to be paying out of pocket a lot until you reach that deductible.
Right.
Right. So for us, you know, we kind of did the mathematics and kind of know ourselves and realized that we haven't really seen a doctor, or at least we haven't utilized healthcare services that much.
It's a risk.
Well, outside of once you gave birth, that was it.
Right.
Once you gave birth, then we went to a high deductible health plan.
Yeah.
But even with kids, it's still a risk.
It's still a risk because you just don't, you don't know. You got a new human being. You don't know.
But the key thing though is if it came to a point where the expenses were getting too much,
right,
we could use that HSA to pay for those expenses and so forth.
Yeah.
It just so happened that we have decided not to use that. We use it as part of our retirement planning.
Mm-hmm.
So low key, what we do is we take that amount, right? We take that $77.50, and over, you know, the last month and a half, we've just been investing that amount in a Fidelity account,
mm-hmm.
right? That's connected to our HSA.
Right.
And then we invest in FZROX, right? FZROX is basically the same thing as VTI. It's the same thing as VTSAX.
Your favorite.
It's basically you're investing. It's one of my favorite things. You're just investing in total stock market, and that's it, right? And one of the other con that I didn't mention is that you'll owe income taxes plus a 20% penalty if you withdraw funds from your HSA for non-qualified expenses before you turn age 65. So non-qualified expenses are...
Y'all better not be going out friggin', I'm going to go...
Get rims.
You know, I'm going to go get rims. I'm going to go to Chipotle. What you getting at Chipotle?
Like, oh, I want extra protein, so that's like a healthcare expenditure. It's not.
I'm going to go get the vegan bowl at Chipotle.
Guys, it's not.
Listen. Okay? That does not count. All right? Pulling out your HSA card, talking about, this is healthy. Okay?
But you do have to keep receipts, though. So that is one thing low-key you have to do.
People going to GNC buying protein powder. So I'm about,
that counts.
It does?
Yeah, that counts.
I'm going to GNC. Woo!
But that does count. Like, but if you go to like, you know, Chipotle and you say, I want extra protein, give me extra chicken, give me extra steak.
Well, where else can I go that I could use it then that I didn't realize? I got to start thinking about where I can use stuff. But we're saving it for retirement, so.
You could use it for like, you could buy like a, let's say like a heart tracker or like a watch that you could use it for stuff like that.
Yeah, you could get it for, gadgets.
The thing I don't know if you could use it for sneakers though. Particularly if you're going to use it
probably
to work
orthotics.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah, orthotics.
Yo, that's when Nike, but that's something Nike I ain't got to worry about, though.
If Nike
never
comes out with orthotics, it's over for this HSA. It's over. Over. Yo, Nike, come out with some orthotics, okay?
Yeah, you're about to get us audited. Okay. Chill out. You're about to get us audited. Chill out, all right? Chill out. So just want everybody to know that we use that. So the way in which we use the order and how we decide what we're going to invest in is 401k first, right? Then IRA, mm-hmm. right? And then somewhere in between emergency fund. And then after that is the HSA. That's the priority in which we fund our investments. So remember, number one is 401k. Number two is IRA, which we own, right? And then number three would be making sure that their emergency fund is straight, is set up. And then we go into the HSA. So that's something I'm really proud of, something I'm excited about.
Just you're excited to retire, to have your retirement
It's not that I'm excited to retire. It's just that, you know, everybody always talks about like these backdoor Roths and all these different things. We can't participate in a backdoor Roth, unfortunately, because we have part of our SEP IRA. We never converted and we never did. Long story short, there's some monies in our SEP IRA that's now in our solo 401k that we didn't do the proper like accounting for.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we can't do it. That's okay. So this has kind of been a little bit of a, almost like a backdoor IRA for us.
Yep.
Backdoor Roth for us, so to speak. So
yeah,
that's just something that people should be considering. A lot of times people will say, well, you know, this is just another way in which people who are well off are able to stack money away.
Mm-hmm.
They're right. They're right about that. If you have the financial means to not really have to worry about your expenses, your medical expenditures, or at least in a way that you can pay cash for your medical expenditures until your deductible comes in, then yes.
Yeah.
The majority of the public can't do that.
Right.
And I have to be very honest about that.
Yeah.
But I think that physicians and other professionals who are at a certain point should be able to kind of discuss this and say, this is an option for you if you have the ability to have an emergency fund where you can pay for some out-of-pocket expenditures and kind of leave that HSA alone and just let
invested.
It to let it invest mm-hmm. over time and so forth. That's just yeah. something to bring
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, I think
game
it's a
recognized
good
game in that.
Yeah, it's a good option. I think
there is a link that's going to be in the show notes where we talk about the pros and cons of the health savings account. So make sure you check that out. And other than that, that's it, Renee.
That's
We ain't got nothing else.
I ain't got nothing else to say.
Do you got anything else to say?
I ain't got nothing else to say. Pregnant Yariri.
Well, for closing, what I will say for closing is, listen, guys, we are still getting ready to go to Ghana. We are going to Ghana August 4th to the 18th. Hey, Alfred, if you can put ihcv.org below, that is the organization that we do our medical humanitarian trips with. Once again, it's going to be this year, August 4th. To the 18th in Ghana, West Africa.
Yep.
And if you go to the show notes, you will see that there's going to be a link in there where you can put in and you can sign up. It's called the Medical Volunteer Interest Form. This doesn't it doesn't tie you to anything. It's just you get to be a part of our planning sessions. And then from there, you can decide, hey, I really want to be a part of this. It's a great opportunity. Renee has been doing it for close to 10 years now. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for about 9-8 years. We're pretty excited. We're bringing our family. And we've brought medical students with us. Mm-hmm. We've brought nurses, nurse practitioners.
Residents,
CRNAs. Mm-hmm. We can use help from every specialty that's out there. Yeah. ER doctors, I'm looking at y'all. We can use Kyrie Irving doctors. Mm-hmm. We can use everybody. No, not.
Definitely not in Ghana. You cannot. Listen. Okay, y'all. If you are if this, then that resident, you can't come. You cannot come. You can't because you cannot if this, then that in Ghana. You really can't. You can't. No. You can get away with it in the United States because somebody's going to intervene. You know, the radiologist is going to catch something and basically say, you know, could possibly be every cancer in the world to make you stop yourself and think, you know, in their report. Somebody's going to stop you. But when you don't have all of the resources, you don't, including human capital, to be able to stop you from if this, then that, knee-jerking your way through medicine, it could be disastrous. So really have a heart-to-heart with yourself.
Stay your ass at home.
And stay your ass at home.
All right, y'all. We're going to end this. The show went a little bit longer than what we normally wanted it, but we had some really good conversation here. If you're interested, once again, go ahead and check out the show notes so you can learn about IHCV. And as always, make sure you text us at 833-230-2860. Let us know your thoughts. Did I go too hard on Kyrie? Did I not? Did I go soft? Did I go too hard on Rihanna? Let me know. You know,
anyway. A lot of people went too hard on Rihanna's performance. It was, come on, guys.
It was mid. Anyway, we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Docs Outside the Box, y'all.
Peace.
Not plural. See y'all later, y'all. Peace. Hey guys, thanks again for listening as well as supporting Docs Outside the Box. Listen, this show is produced by Darko Media Group and the dope audio experience is edited by the one, the only Christian Parry, also known as your podcast pal. Links to him in the show notes. Listen, this is Dr. Nee, the Doc Outside the Box. I'll catch you on the next one. Peace.